In today's episode of This Week in Marketing, we're going to talk about news and trends and updates that relate to your marketing mix. I'm going to share a couple of solid strategies to generate more listings in your business. And then last, I have a special guest interview to talk about a TikTok strategy that's going to make your wheels in your brain turn. Welcome to This Week in Marketing. My name is Jason Pantana. I'm your host. And if you are new to the channel, please make sure to tap the big red subscribe button. And there's a bell icon right next to it that if you tap it, it turns on notifications so you get alerted for new episodes just like this. Now, today's episode is a new format for the show. The format I'm going to continue with rolling forward, and it has three segments. The first segment is news and updates that relate to your marketing mix. The second segment is going to be a breakdown of different tactics or techniques or tutorials to help you generate more listings and more business. And I'm going to start wrapping up every single episode with an absolute rock star interview case study about what's working in the field. So without further ado, let's dive in. I got your news and updates coming right up. Beginning with the story from LinkedIn, LinkedIn has updated their core algorithm to now embrace evergreen content. Now, when you think about social media platforms historically, it's been you create content, it's like throwing another log on the fire and the feeds burn it up. The average life expectancy of a post on a platform like Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn is like a day, maybe 2 days. But what they've done at LinkedIn is they've effectively said, we're now looking for valuable content, evergreen content, which means it can't be irrelevant tomorrow. So there is an element of some content can be really good content, but it's just time-stamped and it's fleeting. And so tomorrow it's not as relevant as it was today because it's breaking news, for instance. But notwithstanding, what they're saying is we think that the best creators should be rewarded. So the AIs that are now behind these algorithms are so much more capable of figuring out who to show content to. They can look and see, well, this is a great post. It checks all the boxes of great content. Let's keep showing it to more people who fit the box of the model follower of this creator. And I'm willing to bet that platforms like Instagram with their Reels and Facebook and TikTok and others will see what's happening with LinkedIn and they're going to be rewarded for it. Because guess what? People on social want to see the best quality content. It is about seeing new content, but it's also about seeing the best content. I, for one, am hopeful that evergreen content and a focus on quality, not just quantity, becomes a trend that continues in 2024. Next up, this one kind of piggybacks the last point. TikTok and Instagram are extending run times in testing right now for their videos. So TikTok is extending the runtime of videos from a testing standpoint up to 15 minutes. It's not final, but it's going to be up to 15 minutes. And Instagram is looking at a 3-minute reel option, which right now they're capped at 90 seconds. They're testing 3 minutes and they're also testing up to 10 minutes to see if they can get better engagement. Will people watch for longer? And my prediction is if the quality of the content is there, if it's good, yeah, they will. You got to think though about the differences of a scroll-based platform like TikTok and Instagram where you're scrolling and then, oh look, there's content and it just flashes in front of you and you decide to want to watch it for longer perhaps, versus a platform like YouTube where the dominant means of finding content, of discovery of content, is through search. And when you go searching for what you're looking for, it generally comes with the implied consent to watch for longer because you're looking for something specific. So the AI and the algorithms are going to have to get super sharp about what content they show to people so that they can match their demand of what they're willing to watch at that right moment of time to get them to watch for longer. So how are you paying attention to these trends of longer form content? Next up, there's some internet troubles for ChatGPT powered by OpenAI. You may be aware that ChatGPT is trained on data limited at the time I'm filming this up until April of 2023. And so you might put something in your ChatGPT conversation where it's forced to either make up an answer, which it won't really do, or it might use a feature built into it called browsing powered by Bing, where it can go effectively run a Bing search to go find up-to-date information that it's missing because it was trained up until April of 2023. Anyways, what's happening is a lot of websites are on their robots.txt files. The robots.txt file is a website's rules of who and what can or can't crawl its web pages. So for example, you might have had a web page before, like a landing page, that you don't want someone to be able to navigate to directly through the Google search results. So you can prohibit Google from crawling that web page. It's called noindex. You can disallow Google from crawling that web page so it doesn't show up in the Google search results. Well, if you look at a lot of websites' txt files, they're starting to expressly prohibit OpenAI, which is to say ChatGPT, from crawling their web pages. Why? Probably because they want the web traffic. They want people on their website looking at other content, looking at their products, looking at their services, and building up their own SEO. So I would watch for the trend of more and more websites blocking OpenAI from crawling their contents. And last but not least, one final update. There are now vertical YouTube live streams, and they can actually showcase previews of a live stream in the Shorts feed. This is YouTube trying to keep pace with TikTok, which TikTok lives are already in the feed itself. And so now on YouTube, you can have a vertical format live stream. We've had YouTube live for quite some time where it's more of a horizontal on-demand styled live stream. There's now a vertical option, and it will put previews of your live stream in the Shorts feed. So if you're a creator who's mostly producing short form vertical content on YouTube, this may be something that really interests you. Regardless, live streaming, no matter the platform, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, live streaming is most certainly a relevant format for you to include in your media mix. Now, staying true to form, I promised you sweat equity types of tactics to generate more listings. Which brings us to a conversation about Dave Archuleta. Dave's number one source of business, open houses. Open houses. All right. Well, I want to talk about open houses through a few different lenses of consideration today. One is that you should be doing them. Why? Because open houses are the thing that's for sale. It's prospective buyers walking into a home and checking it out that is for sale. It's a chance to connect with buyers, obviously. But more than that, it's a chance to connect with neighbors, i.e. your future sellers. And that is how Dave wins listings. He recognizes that he is on display for the neighbors to see how he performs and the work he does to get those homes sold so that when they circle around to deciding to list, Dave is already positioned as absolutely the listing agent of choice. I remember I was on a coaching session with Dave a long time ago, and we were looking for ways to buy back time. Where is Dave spending time that if we could find a way to delegate it or automate it, we could somehow get him more time in his day because time is precious. And I remember we came to the item of putting out the directional pointer signs to drive traffic to his open houses. Now, Dave does generally multiple open houses every weekend, and he puts up numerous directional signs for each respective open house. So he's spending like an hour or more every weekend driving traffic by putting out yard signs for his open houses because he knows if you can't get traffic there, they're not gonna be a win. So I said, well, Dave, that's it. I agree, you should keep doing the yard signs. Keep doing those directional signs because again, you can have an open house, but if nobody shows up, it didn't do a whole lot of good for you. I mean, there are ways to use it to your advantage, but let's agree, it didn't do a lot for you. So you want to drive traffic there, but Dave, can't we just hire some kid, I said, somebody who can put those signs up for you and you can buy back like an hour or 2 hours every weekend? And he immediately said, no, I can't do that. It has to be me who puts up the signs. And I was like, Dave, come on. He said, no, it has to be me, and here's why. Because whenever I put those yard signs out, I wave at everybody. I wave at people who are walking down the street. I wave at the cars passing by and I smile big like I own the place. And he said, because when I talk to prospective sellers later on, they always say to me, Dave, we're choosing to hire you to list and sell our home because every weekend we see you out there in the hot sun, putting out those signs, working so hard to get your listing sold. And that's the kind of agent we want to work with. The kind of agent who's prepared to hustle and get houses sold. And I remember thinking, I was talking to Dave, I was like, he's right, he can never give it up. That is an integral part of his open house strategy. But wait, there's more. So I said, Dave, what about tearing the yard signs down? I mean, I get that you want to be seen and waving at people when you put the signs up, but can't somebody else take the signs down? He said, oh, no, I could never do that. I could never give that part of the work up. And I said, well, tell me why. And he said, because when I'm at the open house, I connect with all the people who walk in, buyers and neighbors and everybody, and they sign in. And I use the time when I'm picking up yard signs to call everybody, thank everybody for attending the open house. And I say, hey, I would really love the opportunity for you to consider me as working with me, to hire me as your realtor for your search or for your sale of home, whatever it is. And I said, hey, Dave, let me ask you a question. Are you doing this literally like on CarPlay in your phone when you're picking up the yard signs? And he said, yeah. And I was like, I put my AirPods in and then I'm getting in and out of the car, he said, and I'm picking up the yard signs and so they can hear you clanking things around in the back. He said, oh yeah, I tell them what I'm doing. And the reason I tell them is because I don't want it to feel like a sales call. I want it to feel like the kind of call that a friend makes. Think about the people you call when you're bored or you're just on a walk or you just want someone to talk to. You're just doing whatever. You're pulling weeds out of the mulch beds in your home garden. Who are the people you call? Dave said, I want the call to feel like that, like I'm calling a bud, like I'm calling a friend. And so he uses this time strategically while he's working to make the calls. And guess what? Nobody thinks they're sales calls. Everybody thinks this guy is so amazing. I just met him. He's out there busting his tail, picking up directional signs, and he's working so hard and he's thinking about me. And it is because of those kinds of actions that Dave wins business galore. How hard are you working at open houses? And how hard are you showing buyers and sellers the degree to which you won't stop when it comes to serving their needs? Hey, this last segment is the story of the week. I have a special sit-down conversation with Zachary Faust, who is arguably the premier agent crushing it on TikTok to generate more business. And Zachary is going to break down a strategy he's using to both retarget his audience and attract local prospective buyers and sellers through content on TikTok. It's low cost, it's both organic and paid, it's brilliant. You're not gonna wanna miss this interview with Zachary Faust. I'm so pumped for this conversation. I'm talking to Zachary Faust. Zachary is the founder and leader of Loft Team in Delaware. They run an amazing organization. They changed the way real estate is happening in Delaware. And Zach, you may recognize him as being TikTok famous. In fact, Zach is one of the most successful TikTokers I've found in the real estate space. And he has a strategy that has been so clever in terms of legitimately generating leads in his local marketplace, leveraging both organic and paid TikTok. And Zach, I can't wait to dive into this with you. I want to talk to you about what you're doing on TikTok. And so I'm going to just kind of keep the question broad. Tell everybody what you're up to on TikTok.
Well, Jason, it's no question that the algorithms are continually changing on TikTok. And that means that follower count isn't always something I can count on. So we had to really develop a way that we could systematically develop leads on TikTok, which of course is a national, if not international platform. So that's tough. What we did is we decided to take the organic content that's, you know, real estate facing or real estate tied.
Yeah.
And when it does well, we bring it to the TikTok advertising platform, we put $20 behind it, and we send it out to the local audience that we're trying to get in front of already. And a lot of times, it ends up performing just as well with those people, even like it's not an ad. People comment on it, share it, like it, favorite it, DM us about it, and it's become a formula now. When we have certain videos that perform at a certain metric, if it mentions Delaware real estate, we push it and it works.
Dude, that's good. And I you know, you're talking about hyper-local content and being more locally minded, because any of the algorithms, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, they're not really thinking through local content per se. They're just distributing it to anybody whose interests align. And so I love the idea that you're being locally minded, but I think for anybody listening or watching right now, they should also think through, man, I could just put money behind the content. If it's already good organic content that performs well organically, what would stop it from performing even better locally if I targeted my local audience? So you're running ads on TikTok with organic content. It's almost like a boosted post kind of a vibe, right? Because it was organic and then you're putting an ad budget behind it. And what are you just targeting, all of Delaware, or is it more granular than that?
It's Delaware, and there's certain interests you can get into. It's not super technical on TikTok yet, but the beauty of it is the cost per of the term CPM, or cost per thousand people that see it, is so dramatically lower than any other platform. And plus, if we're getting that ad in front of people, which we can do, that have already watched our other content, there's already some brand recognition that comes with that. And I think that's important, especially on TikTok, where people are showing new content, new creators every moment.
What do you think? So I've watched your videos, and with your permission, I'd love to link up some of those videos so people can go watch one or two. Do I have your permission to do that?
Please, go for it.
All right, great. So we're going to put a...
We can do it.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it. Your content is not what everybody might expect. So what do you think most agents would endeavor to do when it comes to making an ad on TikTok versus what are you doing with a TikTok ad as far as the content or the messaging is concerned?
Well, I think market updates are a tried and true method that still do work when presented properly.
Yeah.
I think lead forms, which is something you can now do on TikTok, is something undiscovered, but will probably be very heavily utilized by anybody looking to just get leads on TikTok.
Sure.
I think what's working right now is empathy. Mm. I think it's always worked, but right now, especially when a lot of people are struggling, I think it's like 86% of Americans can't afford the median home. Like, empathy towards the reality of our housing market run as ads is actually working. Stories about clients that didn't get pre-approved that you otherwise in other markets thought would. Talking about our market and creative fashions that kind of drive the local person that's listening's interest, because I'm talking about their place. Being really hyper-local, but understanding and thinking about this national content we're making it for and only matter to that local person. And a lot of times it's not, hey, here's what the homes are worth, that matters. So we do talk restaurants. We do talk golf courses. We do bring up the local articles because that's what matters to the local person. Just like a Ken Pozak, we're aiming at a community.
Well, and I watched some of your ads and I was amazed. Like, you talked head on about the struggle of affordability and how hard it is. And you related to folks in a really, really specific way. And I think a lot of people would watch those videos and think he is dissuading people from reaching out to him. He is dissuading people from moving forward. But I'm curious, are people indeed reaching out to you? Are they messaging you? What's happening with these ads?
Well, A, yes, people are reaching out to us. I'll tell you what happened. I sent you a picture the other day of when we just launched that recent ad set. What happens in marketing, as I'm sure you know, you show an ad for 2-3 months, 4 or 5 different ads to the same group of people for so long, it becomes repetitive, only becomes white noise, right? But they're not seeing you. They're just pop, 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 pop. So the moment you throw something of relevance in front of them that's different, it stands out like a good sore thumb. They see it. And that effect happened with some of the videos we're talking about. And now consistently we're getting DMs and comments of people that are local and are hearing this message and are connecting with me and are just feeling they can have an open real estate conversation with me, maybe about struggles. And I am having some of those conversations and I'm happy to have some of those conversations.
But well, you screenshotted some of the DMs and sent them to me. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, is because I think you told me I got 5 leads the first morning one of the ads started running and it was high empathy. And you sent me the messages and they were legit. I'm moving to the area. I'm leaving the area. I want to sell. And it wasn't as if they weren't going to buy or sell in this marketplace, but it seems like they just appreciated somebody calling out what it is for them.
I think of it like when I used to watch a show called NCIS. I love those little crime shows growing up. And there was one episode I still remember to this day. I was about 14 years old and they showed this B-roll shot before the episode started. And it said, Camden, Wyoming, Delaware. And I was like, holy cow, that's us. The B-roll shot looked nothing like Camden, Wyoming, Delaware. It was not us, but it was like, we're mentioned. I don't know if this is for the person listening, but it's for me in Delaware. When someone talks Delaware or someone talks about some niche store that I know about, that I know someone 2 states over has no clue about, my ears perk up. And when we take content and have that purpose behind it, and we throw all of that specific spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks and then throw strategized local money around it, I don't see another platform that's offering the return that TikTok is, even though it does have, like you said, kind of that negative connotation. You don't get real legitimate leads.
Well, all right. So here's what I'm hearing that I like that I'm hearing. You're taking organic content and putting money behind it. You're making content in the first place that's relevant for your local audience. Sometimes it's high empathy. Sometimes it's a market update. Sometimes it's a new restaurant. And it's just the kind of stuff that locals would care about who are living in, moving to, buying in, selling in your area. Like I said, you put money behind that content, which is incredibly cheap right now. The cost per 1,000 impressions is remarkably low. And TikTok lets you target certain basic interests. It can target geographically, and you can put money behind organic content and people are engaging with it as if it wasn't paid content. And they're messaging you and you're generating leads and it's growing both organic and paid, but ultimately it's leading to business for you on TikTok. And I got to tell you, I think anybody watching could effectively take those same basic principles for their own content, their own marketplace, and start using TikTok to get some business.
TikTok doesn't know the difference between paid and organic. So your ads that you're running are going out to local people, and then those local people are going to see more of your organic content that isn't even an ad.
All right, dude. Hey, thank you so much, Zachary. I appreciate it. Take it easy, man.
Appreciate you, dude.
Thank you so much for tuning in to This Week in Marketing. I want to hear from you in the comments. What are you taking action on? Where are you going to start? And also, who should I be interviewing on the show for future episodes? Until next week, this is This Week in Marketing.